I started out in high school, of course. I had a little folk group who we were all members of the a cappella choir, actually. They were seniors when I was a junior. And we were kind of Kingston Trio-ish. But we did get a lot of really good people liking what we did. I used to play in Chicago a lot. At some of the places on Rush Street in the Old Town area. In fact, started out doing that at a place called the Fickle Pickle, which was across the street from the Gate of Horn, which I used to frequent quite often. But in the process of doing that, I met some wonderful people, including Josh White and other folks, and it was very inspiring. And it just got me into songwriting, but not too much. I didn't write too much. I was more of a wannabe folk musician, which meant learning other people's songs at that point. From there, I went into other bands and went out to California to college, and used to play do solo at places like the Ice House in Pasadena and Glendale, and opened for some pretty neat folks like the Association and Ramblin' Jack Elliott and people like that. From that, I went into the service and played a lot at officers' clubs, NCO clubs, that kind of thing. But most of this was not original material. I hadn't written too many songs. But when I got out of the service, I came back to Chicago area and got involved with bluegrass at that time. I had first gone down to hear Doc Watson at a couple clubs. At that point, I really got into acoustic music and joined a band called the Greater Chicago Bluegrass Band in 1976. Stayed with them till 81. That's when I moved down to Virginia. For a day gig, I was in advertising in the Chicagoland area with first a small agency, then a mid-size agency, working on the Kroger account and writing jingles and such for them. And then I went with Leo Burnett Advertising. And while I was there, I did a lot more production. And that was really valuable to me, the radio and TV production. But a friend of mine, I went to art school right out of high school, and a friend of mine lived in Roanoke. And 10 years later, I ran into her, and then I gave her our first Greater Chicago album. She says, "Well, if you like this kind of music, come down and visit," which I did on vacation with my then girlfriend. And I wound up sitting in with a band called Homebrew at the Ground Round with Tom Olmsen, and let's see, who was in that band? Gene Elders was in that band. A bunch of really good players, Jimmy Crawford, and a few others, and that really got me going in that respect. So I did the bluegrass thing with them, and then I went on to a band called the Bass Mountain Boys down in Carolina, and I was with them for a couple of years and got my fill of the road with that group. Came back and got interested in writing my own stuff a little bit more when I met Robin and Linda Williams. I did Stonewall Country back around 1987, 1986. And from then it was went full bore into writing my own stuff, and still kept day gigs up until about 96. I worked for WSET for a while as a writer producer. Before that, I was with the Media Works, and I wrote a bunch of jingles and things while I was doing that. And it was in '96 that I had to make a decision: am I going to do this, or what am I going to do with my music? And I just entered a contest in Louisville, the Louisville Songwriters Association, which was a pretty big deal at that time. And I won the grand prize in that. And I said, that was just what I needed. That was the shot in the arm that said, okay, I can do this. and I got involved with the Folk Alliance, became a charter member of the Folk Alliance. And that was the beginning. But while I was at the Media Works, I met Laura Pohl. I was doing a piece on a cancer a group to help people with cancer. And Laura, at the end of the, she was a part of the people that we were interviewing for this piece. And she said, "Is it okay if I do some music? I have this song I'd like to sing at the end." I'd never heard her before. And so I'm thinking, oh, great, here's one of those. But sure enough, she wrote this beautiful song. And Randy Walker and I started backing her up at the Third Street Coffee House. And things just went from there. It's been quite a ride. I joined the Southwest Virginia Songwriters Association in about 85, and that really changed a lot of things because Sid Crosswhite, who started the organization, was also the regional coordinator for the NSAI. So we spent a lot of time in Nashville, and that was very inspiring. One of the things that I think really has helped me working well with my good buddy Neil Phillips, who's I met him through SVS, well, not SVSA, but through going through a couple of workshops. And then when he moved into the area when his wife was getting her PhD at Virginia Tech, that's when we started playing with Laura. I was backing up Laura at the time, and he was in the audience at Third Street, and I said, "Why do I know this guy?" And it has been about 3 or 4 years since I met him at one of the songwriting workshops. And we were looking for a third party, looking for a bass player. And that night, I gave him our album and cassettes, our LP and our cassette. And we got together with him that next Sunday, and he had every one of those songs down better than we did. And Neil's just an amazing force, musical force.